It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans, sports fans? We're back. Welcome to another episode of a Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast, season number 6, episode number 4, and it's, of course, for June 7th, 2023. All right, the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast is presented, of course, by Coach's Corner, because we're part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. You heard that right. Coach's Corner has a sports network. They have 4 shows, three alive, one's a podcast. We're the podcast, but anyway, every Wednesday night, 6 to 7 o'clock on the Soundgarden stage, you have the what we call Rubbin' and Grubbin'. They're rubbing about cars, they're grubbing about foods, and it's Brandon, the Atlanta man, Bain, and the OG of the Coach's Corner Sports Network, the producer, Lawrence Bennett, talking all things NASCAR. It's great. Go to YouTube. You can watch the episodes that were on before, the live ones, so you'll check it out. You'll love it. Okay, of course, then there's the coach every Saturday morning, 9 to about 10:30, talking all local sports. I will get into the professional and national sports, too. That's from 9 to about 10:30 Saturday mornings, live from the Soundgarden stage. And then, of course, once a year during Masters Week, the Herb brothers, Sean and Brent Herb, do all thing Masters Wednesday through Sunday, 5 straight days, breaking down golf. And if you heard yesterday, we had a big golf news with the PGA and the LIV Golf Tour. That's for another story, because we're talking baseball. We're not hitting a little pimpled ball, okay? So we're talking about the big white one with red stitches. So, and the baseball fanatic can tell you how many stitches are on the board, okay? And then, of course, the podcast, the 4th show is the podcast, the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach and the baseball fanatic. As always, joining me on the Coach Scoring Hot Seat, Mr. Kyle Cubby Lawson. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Coach, good to see you. Another good week. We got a lot to dig into tonight, and we got some special guests coming up here. A lot to cover. Let's get to it.
All right, let's break down who's going to be on tonight. Of course, the coach and the fanatic break down Major League Baseball. We call that Let's Go Around the Horn. We talk about the division races and what's special going on. Then usually in the second inning, we break down and we do Braves Focus. We do the Braves Chop. But we're pushing it back to the third inning because we got a special guest coming on talking Savannah Bananas, the young pup, the young tiger from the broadcast internet booth or the crow's nest at Grayson Stadium or wherever he may be. And that's, of course, Biko Scala, and love having that kid on. And you know what? Bananas are almost halfway through the season, so we got to catch up on that. Inning number 3, Braves Focus, a lot of things going on. Players getting hurt, young guys coming up. We'll get into that. And then we'll get into the trivia to wrap the show up. Of course, the coach is behind the 8-ball. He's already down 3-0 to the baseball fanatic. So hopefully I can catch up to him tonight, so we'll see what happens. So let's take it up. Let's get up to the plate, and let's play ball. Let's go around the horn. Well, Mr. Fanatic, some teams are 60 games into the season. Some teams are right there. 2 months into the season, it's just crazy. So my first perspective I want to get from you, have the baseball rules, have they changed the game a little?
I think to a degree. I think you've seen it a little bit. I think some players have voiced their opinions a little bit. But overall, outside of a few comments from a few players, I think the games are moving along at a steady pace. I enjoy it. I love being able to watch a game in about 2.5 hours. I think it's great. I think with a few snags, it's gone really well. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. I love it. You know, 15-second pitch count, 20-second pitch count with the runner on base.
Yeah.
You know, and still, I don't know what's wrong with these hitters, okay? You know, you have to be in the box before it gets to 8 seconds. I think 2 games last week ended on a strike because the third strike, because they weren't in the batter's box already by 8 seconds. End of the game. What's going to happen when it gets to the playoffs? I mean, they got to be on top of the rules. And I'm telling you right now, the larger bases, more steals. But I'm telling you, there's some catches in Major League Baseball. Even if you made the baseball bag 20 inches, they still be throwing guys out. So it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it really has. And I mean, yeah, the bases, I think that's been the least of the rule changes. Let me just tell you that right now. Right. But I got to say, outside of a few snags here and there, I'll say it again. I'm going to keep saying that. I don't see a lot of the difference in the quality of play. The batters are going to figure it out, and thank goodness it's only 60 games into the season.
Right. So, all right, let's go around the horn as we always do. We start with the junior circuit, the AL East. It's the only division in baseball where every team is over 500. You know, Tampa Bay, what do I got to tell you? The Devil Rays are the best in baseball. That's all I got to say. And I'm a big Yankee fan. The Orioles, I mean, are in second place. The Yankees are in third. Boston was hot there for a while, but they've dropped to 530-30. But no better team than after 60 games. Well, right now they have played, they played 62 games. We got to go with the Devil Rays. Best team in baseball as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they really are. And I mean, you look at that, you look at that lineup. I mean, they continue to churn out great players. And I mean, this is the toughest division in baseball, no doubt. I mean, the Boston Red Sox are at 500 and they're 12 games out. It's crazy. 60 games in. I know a lot of games to play, but I mean, the Rays get it done. I mean, Randy Arozarena, Shane McClanahan. I mean, all the names that, you know, that people need to hear that are finally hearing them for the first time for a lot of people, especially the casual baseball fan.
And like you've been preaching, don't count the Blue Jays out. They've won three series in a row against some really good
teams.
That's
right.
They swept the Mets in Queens. Vladdy is Vladdy. I mean, whether it's Vladimir Guerrero Sr. or Jr., there's something about that name that baseball's been very, very good to them. So it's pretty exciting. Blue Jays, watch the Blue Jays like you've been saying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I still believe you could have maybe one, if not two teams in that wild card come out of the East. But 60 games in. Right now, Rays hold the cards.
All right, let's go to the AL Central, which is one of the worst divisions in baseball. But I'm telling you right now, if Minnesota got their act together, okay, I mean, they just beat up on Houston. I mean, they could be the best team in division. They wouldn't have to worry about the other teams. You got to worry about Terry Francona, one of the best managers in baseball. He's going to have the Guardians in the thick of things, but I don't see anything with the Tigers, the White Sox, or the Royals.
No, you really don't. That is truly the worst division in baseball. You could make a case for the NL Central. We'll get to that. But right now, the Twins are doing, they're doing the job. Rocco Baldelli is proven to be a great manager. He's done that for the last few years. And Cleveland, I think, will stick around. I mean, I like what Detroit's doing. They're a better ball club. The White Sox are just a ship without a captain right now. But the Twins are doing the right. I mean, it's true. You see it every day. The only thing keeping them in it is the fact that, you know what? We're only 5.5 games out because this division's so terrible. No big deal. The only team that is just, hey, see you next year, that's the Kansas City Royals. But right now, I think Cleveland will turn it around a little bit. I mean, just because of, you know, what they do have in that system right now. And I think there are some good players in that lineup, but Minnesota goes out there and does it. And you know what? It might be 85 games that wins that division.
All right. So let's just head out to the West. And I think this, to me, is the second best team in baseball right now is the Texas Rangers. I mean, it's been a month since the Rangers have lost two in a row. I mean, manager, I don't want to mess his name up. Texas Ranger
manager.
You can
do it.
No, I'm going to mess
you
it
can
up.
Do it.
Bruce
Bochy, one of the all-time greats. Bochy, he's got that deep voice.
I was going
to
tell you,
he wouldn't have like come to the.
Ball, you know what I mean? He's
got. Yeah, I love me some bocce ball. Let me tell you, I got a set. I got at my wedding, and I take it to the beach, and I play me some bocce ball. But Bruce Bochy would not have come to the Texas Rangers if they didn't have a clear plan to win right now, which they do. Look at it. I mean, it came out of nowhere. Marcus Semien continues to rake. Josh Young. The only chink in the armor right now is, and this was just news that came out 2 hours ago, Jake DeGrom out for TJ. It was a big risk bringing him into the organization for that big contract, but you know what he can do when he's healthy. He's out. He's vowing to be back by the beginning of the end of next season and beginning of next season. It makes no sense, but you know how long that rehab is. Right now, they are flat out hitting. That is one of the best offenses in the American League, if not the best.
I mean, and who was the last team to sweep a series from them?
It's been a minute, but I mean, what do you got for me? I'm blanking right now. Oh, you got to go back to the chop. There you go.
The Braves.
Yes, your Atlanta Braves right there. You are correct, sir. All right, totally forgot about it.
the Astros, everybody loves the Astros. They're one of the top 10 teams in baseball, but you got to worry about their pitching depth.
You really do. And I mean, the crazy thing is the two horse race that's coming out of there. Cause I still don't know what the Angels are going to do. I know they're taking on my Cubs, started with a 3-game series tonight right now, but Houston 3.5 back, the Rangers, if they can keep hitting, they will stay at the top of that division.
And the Mariners 29-30, they're hanging tough.
Hit the skids bad.
But they could be a spoiler. They got a lot of young talent.
They can be a spoiler, but they have had a bad week. That's why, thank goodness, we're only a third of the way through the season. But right now, Texas holds serve.
So, all right, and then Oakland. Probably going to be the worst team in baseball this year, so we'll go from there. All right, let's swing now to the NL West. We'll stay on the left coast, okay?
Let's go.
And, you know, the Dodgers, and I'm saying this because I love it, the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks are in a race with the Giants hanging in there.
Yeah, they really are. And, I mean, right now, I mean, the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers are in a literal tie right now for first place. And the Dodgers have really –
they got the same exact record.
I was about to say. That's why I say a little tie. Not too much. A little. Little. What am I, English? What am I doing here?
Little young man.
I went with my bad Cockney accent right there. Anyway, they are tied right now. The Dodgers, I still think, are the better team. But they've had to persevere over some major injuries.
And the Diamondbacks went 17-10 in the month of May. Who would think the Diamondbacks? I mean, here's another team that I probably can't name one player that stands out. Can you?
Corbin Carroll. Look at that name right there. Look at his stats. That guy came to play.
That's why we got the baseball fanatic here, because he's got all that in that cranial vault of his. Okay, so let's go to your beloved NL Central. And who's leading? The Bucks. You don't know who the Bucks are, people? Black and gold. We're talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's right. Yes, 7-3. They've won 6 in a row after a team that cooled off after that absolute jackrabbit start they got off to in April. They cooled off and you figured, okay, young ball club, they'll recede. They'll be third by Memorial Day. Guess what? They're not. They've come out there. They've kept hitting. They've surprised a lot of people right there, but it's close. Milwaukee, and they've taken advantage of a Milwaukee team that's not playing terribly bad right now. They lost last night. Milwaukee and the Pirates won to stay in first place. Sustainable? I don't know. I got to say, they keep every week I continue to see, okay, they might have a little something there. And then the rest of the division, you don't know. You got underachieving clubs. The Cardinals are off to one of their worst starts since 1990. Makes me happy, but that's not why you called. The Cubs are hanging in there. Cincinnati, who just called up one of their top prospects, Essi De La Cruz. Look for that guy. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. But right now, the Buccos are holding up. I still think Milwaukee is the best team in that division, only half a game back. But I still feel like, really, I think the Cubs, the Brewers, the Pirates could end up taking that division. That division might not even need 85 wins to win it.
I mean, I think the Brewers would probably be the class of that division, but I mean, the Pirates have been, the surprise team. I think they won 5 or 6 in a row.
It's a fun story.
I mean, I've never heard of these guys. Key Brian Hayes, Connor Joe.
Oh.
And of course,
Connor Joe.
Jack Suwinski.
Jack Suwinski, local kid, local kid for me, I guess, but south side of Chicago, played really well, got called up, got that big number 65 on his back. But Key Brian Hayes, watch out for him. Exceptional speed. Guess who he is? He's the son of former major leaguer Charlie Hayes.
Key Brian Hayes, I can tell you right now, I coached a traveling baseball team against Charlie Hayes in Charleston, South Carolina. It was some World Series, and his son was very good, and we beat him. But I'm telling you right now, just, you know, me being a big Yankee fan, that's when he was with when the Yankees had won the World Series.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, Charlie, that was pretty special. So that's Charlie Hayes' son. That was probably the same kid I coached again way back in my youth. You know what I mean?
Special player when he's healthy. And yeah, but that's just it. They're a fun team. And they can surprise some people. I'm sorry I'm spending so much time in this division. Let's go.
Okay, let's go to the last one, the NL East, okay? We got the Braves. We got the Mets. We got the Marlins. Right now, the Marlins are in second place. The Mets are in third. Big series this week with the Mets. It's always a rival. You know, Lawrence.
Starting, I think, in 6 minutes.
Starting in 6 minutes. But this is for June 7th. So the first game will be the book when I post this. So it's going to be pretty interesting. But right now, I mean, the Braves. I mean, we'll talk about them in the third inning a lot more. But, you know, I still say, and you know it, they're still shorthanded.
They are, and that's a team that you know that that front office is going to add right now. They still hold serve 3-game lead over the Marlins because the Mets continue to underperform. The Mets are sitting there right at 500, 30-30. The Marlins, a little bit of surprise. I mean, in no small part to Luis Arraez, who's hitting 399 right now.
You didn't give me a chance to butcher it.
Oh, I've been chomping at the bit to talk about that all day. Go ahead.
399 for Luis Arraez. I practiced that all day long because I didn't want to make – and there's nobody within 60 points of the kid.
No, he flat out hits, and he paces that lineup. Got a little bit of power, but ultimately that guy gets on base at a heavy clip. And it's fun. And – you know, 60 games in, this is why these are fun baseball conversations to have. Because you think, you know what, can a guy make a run at it? Even when a guy finishes the season hitting like 370, you still get really excited about it. This guy's off to an incredible tear. And the Marlins are a surprise team. Do I think they can hang? They might be a wild card team. We don't know.
We're going to find out. Well, that's it. Around the Horn with the Coach and the Baseball Fanatic, giving you our 60-day breakdown with rules and everything else that's going on. So it's pretty exciting. But I'm telling you right now, you got to watch, of course, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. That Rays can go out the window, okay? We also got to watch the Texas Rangers and the Braves and the Yankees are all right up there. So we'll leave it at that because you're watching or you're listening to the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the Coach, Carl DeMasi, of course, the Baseball Fanatic, Kyle Lawson, because it's on what channel, sir?
I do believe that is the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
All right. Well, let's go one step further. Inning number two, we're going to go to the Bananas Sports Network. Big time on YouTube. I mean, we've been talking about Bananas every week. You know, it's tough to get a ticket. You know, we're little guys now. The Bananas are just blowing everything up. Even in our own city, it's tough to get a ticket. But people are loving it. And they're bringing a team from Australia there, buddy.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, their first time they're bringing a club that played, I believe it's an ABL club, correct?
Well, that's why we got the man on himself. I mean, this guy's been eating bananas since he came here in 2020. And I think he might be the first Emmy Award winning employee of the Savannah Bananas. Do you believe that?
You know what? It is a little surprising, but not really, because this guy is the goods. I love talking to him, and he's we've had the pleasure of talking to him several times over the last couple
What's
of years.
What's great about it, though, buddy? What's great about it? He doesn't love that team that's on your chest. He loves the team near and dear to our heart because he's from upstate New York, and I'm going to say he's in New York, even though if you live on Long Island in Manhattan, you don't count those people upstate. But this kid from Socrates High School in New York, a Syracuse Orange man, not a Syracuse Orange. He doesn't look like an orange, but he definitely is starting to change into a banana. So joining us on the Coach's Corner Hot Seat, my little tiger, joining us live, Biko Scala, the Savannah Bananas broadcast internet entertainer. What's up there, big tiger?
Carl, Kyle, thank you so much for having me. As per usual, Carl, you give the best intros in the world, and I am so happy to be chatting with you guys tonight.
You're a paisan. How can I not give you a big, you know, a big intro? You know what I mean? You're from where we grow up north, you know, the Yankees, and we're baseball, you know. But anyway, like I always say, buddy, you're doing a great job. I've been watching on the YouTube channel. I can't even get in the chat box anymore. You've become so big. 45,000 people watching. I don't know. Is it 45,000? I mean, you guys are just blowing it up.
On average, nowadays, we're getting about 45,000 screens, which I imagine is almost double that as far as views, because most people aren't watching by themselves, and you get some bars involved, this and that. But and I would also like to say, I may be the first Emmy Award-winning employee of the Savannah Bananas. I am not the last, though. Yvonne Trazak, our director of creative content, also earned an Emmy for the same reason I did.
Well, I'm telling you right now, you're from New York, buddy. You're number one in my book. So, all right, Kyle, you want to start throwing the questions at this young pup?
I don't even know where to begin, Biko. First off, love talking to you again. It's been way too long. All right. You have gone to some really fun cities the last few weeks. What are your thoughts on this season? What is your favorite city thus far?
Oh, my gosh. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It's like choosing between my hypothetical children that do not exist. So we're 15 stops into the tour. We've played 41 games. I say we as if I've been a part of any of them except for just watching them in the booth and saying my little
piece. Well, you are.
Right, yeah. But I have not taken a swing nor thrown a pitch. So, you know, we'll see. I'm sure that'll come in the near future. But it's tough. I mean, we literally went Vegas, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and Nashville, four cities within the last 3 weeks. And I would say our trip to Oklahoma and Nashville have been two of the best easily. It's tough for me to choose anything above Tampa, which was George M. Steinbrenner Field, single A, Tampa Tarpons, affiliate of the New York Yankees. The only other time I had been to that park was with my grandfather who passed away during my first summer with the Bananas. So like it was a really cool and emotional and just amazing full circle event to have gone. And the spring training game we went to, Aaron Judge hit a homer, and it was me and my girlfriend at the time, now fiance, just having a blast with my pop mic. And then all of a sudden I'm in the Yes Network booth and I'm looking down at this over 10,000 seat stadium, and it's flooding full of these people donned in yellow and some black and pink out there for the Party Animals fans. And I'd be darned if a few tears didn't drop from my eyes. That was pretty special. But I mean, 15 stops, they have all truly been amazing. I've loved them all, but I would just put a top three up there of Oklahoma City, Nashville, and Tampa.
All right. So next question from the old ball coach here.
The old ball coach.
First one, I'm going to throw a little twist at you. Favorite pregame drink, half and half?
Oh, my gosh. It's tough for me to say no to half and half, but on a game day, I try to power myself pretty much solely on water.
I got you on that one. All right, so you guys are finally coming home. I think you got a 7-game homestand. You've been in 15 different places, and, you know, you're coming home. What's the outlook for playing in Savannah finally in front of the Savannah fans, which you guys right here, buddy, since 2016, a town that, you know, at first Bananas, Savannah Bananas, that's embarrassing.
Right
now, love you guys, engulf you guys. What's the outlook coming home to play for seven games?
Oh boy, we are so happy to be back in our city by the sea. The travel and exploring and the adventuring is amazing, but you definitely get homesick, and there's nothing like Historic Grayson Stadium. That's the classic show. We've got our Nanas again. You get the splits. All the fans have their free hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken sandwiches, sodas, the whole nine. So it's good to get back to our roots, you know? And then, of course, you teased it before I came on, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Bananas versus the Aussie Drop Bears, which – are actually, to like explain any confusion, because it's completely understandable why there's loads of confusion surrounding this team. This is the first and the last time that this exact group of players are going to play together. So it's an amalgamation of a lot of guys from the Australian Baseball League, as well as a few Americans who have played in the Australian Baseball League and some Australians who are currently playing college ball in the United States. So it's a really unique team. They practice tomorrow for the first time ever together, and then they play the day after. We'll play the Bananas three straight nights, get a day off on Sunday, and then play the Party Animals on Monday night in a 20-state, 33-city, 87-game tour is the only game that the Bananas are not involved. So it's going to be a super, super unique weekend spilling into Monday night.
Here you go. Trivia question for both of you guys. Tell me what an Aussie drop bear is.
Okay, I've got an answer.
No,
Kyle,
don't say anything. I want to let Kyle think about this. An Aussie drop bear. What is it?
Well, I'm thinking. drop bear. I almost thought it wouldn't be a Joey. Wouldn't be from a kangaroo. Baby koala. I got nothing.
You're close. Go ahead, Biko. Take it from here.
Right. So from what I understand, it's a mythical creature related to koalas that fall from the tops of the jungles of Australia and will attack and eat all kinds of people that, not just animals, but human beings and sorts.
That's because
I love it.
The Savannah Bananas took all the bananas out of the trees, so they had to go somewhere.
You got to eat.
I did my research on that, and you know, a carnivore, and what's somebody that eats vegetables? A herbivore? Did I say it right, Kyle?
That sounds right.
I believe that's a herbivore. Not so much me. I mean, I'll eat the occasional vegetables, but yeah, I'm not exactly what you would classify as a herbivore.
It's great. If you're just tuning in, it's the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasini, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, and the Savannah Bananas broadcast internet entertainer. He'll entertain you whether he's on the internet or not, Biko Scala. So, all right. Is it my turn, Kyle, or your turn?
No, I think it's my turn, and this is something I've been wanting to talk to you for the last couple of weeks. You've had so many former major leaguers, you know, retired players that have been dying to, you know, throw in the yellow of the bananas. Tell me about some of your favorite interactions you've had with some of these former greats.
For sure. So it's like it feels like it was a whole nother lifetime ago, but back in Daytona, which was our third and fourth game of the tour and only our second stop, we had Johnny Damon, and a guy who was an integral part of winning the last World Series in New York Yankees history, number 27, back in 2009, when I was pretty much at the peak of my fandom. That was really special, and he was on the broadcast. I got to talk to him about the famous double steal in Game 5 in Citizens Bank Park and all kinds of stuff. So that was super special. He was really, really kind and just a good dude to have around. His vibes were pretty immaculate. Then – I mean, you get oh so recent. I mean, we've had Jake Peavy, and we had Zach Duke, and of course Rick Ankiel. I mean, it's been pretty wild. But then Barry Zito on Saturday night, you get a Cy Young Award winner, a two-time World Series champ with the San Francisco Giants, and a guy perfect for Banana Land because all he does basically nowadays is plays music. It was pretty wild. He had a good outing on the mound. It was tough for him because he came in and immediately faced Jake Skoll, a number 15 overall pick back in 2010. So you had a number 10 overall pick against the number 9 overall pick in Zito. And they battled, and the party animals ended up walking off the inning after Barry got two outs. But it was super cool. And then Zito started strumming away, playing a personal song of his, coaching third base. And the Bananas all of a sudden went missile, missile, barrel, bomb, frozen beam. I mean, like, it was – the Bananas scored three runs in the blink of an eye when he hadn't even completed his one original song. So it was a pretty unique experience for the good folks up there in Nash, Vegas.
But my best is when you talk to that famous baseball expert, your father's friend.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, Tim Kirchin in West Palm Beach was one of the – it's still my favorite guest we've ever had in the booth. I mean, better.
I'm watching
one of the oracles.
I'm watching, little buddy. You can take all those Major League Baseball players, but that interview, what you did with that guy, I know he's up here on a pedestal for you, but I'm telling you, that was a great interview. I mean, you did a heck of a job with him.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. No, that was a bucket list time for me. People were all fired up because in Nashville, Thomas Rhett came on the broadcast, and talk about as nice a guy as you can find in all the land. Thomas Rhett was a true mensch, as our good people up in New York like to say. I mean, he was an absolute blast. I'm ashamed to say that I had no idea who he was before I found out he was going to come in the booth, and all of a sudden I was looking through his Wikipedia, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's headlined 6 of his own tours and has like 17 number one country singles. And then I listened to some of his music on the 8.5-hour drive back, and I was like, oh yeah, this guy's great. But people, I have not gotten a reaction close to anybody like Thomas Rhett got. I mean, people were losing their absolute pants over this guy. So that's definitely, I would say, the most famous person we've gotten. But nobody in Biko's heart comes close to having Tim Kirchin in the booth. I mean, that's baseball royalty at its finest. He's such a nice guy. He has such a unique take on the sport. He's been covering it day in and day out since the 1970s. I mean, that was really special. And he was just tickled silly and really enjoyed Banana Ball. And that's probably the greatest thing that's happened in my life.
Well, now we got to get you to meet up with Buck Olney.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's a fact.
It'd definitely be a lot of fun. Okay. My question now is, I mean, you've been all over the place. You know, you're going back and forth and you're doing all this. Your favorite, for me, my favorite moment was when you were on the road and doing the whiteboard. So tell me what it's like that you don't do the whiteboard anymore. And what are you missing with that? Kyle, this is the wizard of the whiteboard. Now, if you watch this.
Oh, I know. Game,
I mean, they were.
Yes.
How much do you miss that thing?
That's a double-edged sword of a question, because I certainly loved those whiteboard days, and it was a hilarious little bit that I had to do, curbing those Coastal Plain League media rights rules. And it was really fun and bizarre and goofy and very bananas, right? But
yeah.
if I ever have the choice of broadcasting a game on a whiteboard where it's just me for, you know, it was baseball games, so that's anywhere from 3 to 6 hours with rain delays and extra innings and everything, compared to broadcasting games with 7 cameras and a drone, and you know, it's just a world of difference. But it does, the whiteboard did make me appreciate coming back to Savannah and getting the might of my BTV crew behind me again. It was really fun. It was something incredibly unique. But unless for some reason media rights says that we can't show use a camera to show what's on the field once again, I don't think you'll ever see me broadcast.
Ah, you got to love the internets there, Kyle. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say a little technical difficulty. But, yeah, that guy went – I mean, Biko went above and beyond. Sorry. I'm like, all right, we got some rain delay theater. I thought we had that for a minute.
The best was when the whiteboard – I don't know if you were in Macon – blew over the stands into the parking lot. Remember
that's
that?
That's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't make it up. Oh, yeah, in Lexington County, I had guys, their magnets that Lori Flippin Bodie, Nick Clarno's aunt, made me all the way over in Texas and sent to Savannah. I had some of them. Remember, Jose Gonzalez Jr. blew over the edge in 2020. A bajillion things have happened. The whiteboard came down in Macon and landed right on the switch on my power strip that turns it from off and on. So I went dark for like 5 minutes right there. Talk about some rain delay theater.
You should write a book about those days.
There was a lot of blunders. Yeah, I should have been keeping a diary on all the things that went wrong and all the goofy things that happened on the whiteboard broadcast. But really great memories, and I'd like to keep them at that.
All right, Kyle, you got the last pitch. Curveball, fastball, high and tight, whatever you want to throw at this tiger.
Hey, I'm not quite sure. I don't really have much of an arsenal right here, but you know, I'm just trying to think. I mean, you know, you've told us so much about this wonderful season right now. You've got some unbelievable road trips coming up. I did want to throw out one thing to you. You're going to Victory Field in Indianapolis. I spent a lot of time at that ballpark. That is one of the finest AAA ballparks in the country. You're going to absolutely love it. So I got to throw it out there. Go to St. Elmo's Steakhouse. You know, get yourself a nice steak and get yourself a shrimp cocktail. That's my food recommendation for Indianapolis. I was born there. I am from the Chicagoland suburbs, but I wanted a good food recommendation to give you.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. No, we're coming up to Indy pretty soon here, right at the
end
of June. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm fired up to make it up there. I've never been to Indianapolis, and I know it's going to be amazing. All these AAA fields have been boggling our minds.
Recently,
Chickatha Bricktown Ballpark in Oklahoma City was pretty beautiful. Magical. And then, of course, Nashville was just about as good as you get with First Horizon Park for the AAA affiliate of the Brewers. I go from the Brewers to the Dodgers, and now we get the Pirates involved. I'm really fired up for it.
All right, last question for the old ball coach. This year, this year's baseball teams, the Party Animals, and the Savannah Bananas have been going at. It's great baseball, and it's always close and to the end. Give us a quick outlook on these players this year.
Yeah, that's been one of the coolest things. And you talk about all the former Major League Baseball players who have come in. Every single one of them have told me, whether it's on the broadcast or off, just how amazed they are with the caliber of play. So that warms our hearts. I mean, we got guys – now we have guys throwing mid to high 90s when you get Connor Higgins in the mix. And Ryan Kellogg, a big lefty who's with the Cubs organization for over 5 years recently, he's going to be going once his Canadian visa comes up and he can start throwing legally for us. And then – And then there's a whole lot of Haases in the pen and starting who have been throwing low mid-90s as well. So the pitching has been amazing. Garrett Delano has been the ace of the party animals. He was really cruising until the Bananas kind of figured him out as of late. Got pulled from his last start in Nashville because he was kind of getting some dizziness and stuff. And I'm happy to report that he's A-okay. And it was not, you know, anything more serious than he was just kind of feeling under the weather. And then for the Bananas, Danny Hosley has been miraculous. I mean, he just graduated from George Mason this past spring. He's transcendent. I mean, it's one of the biggest shames in the world that he's not an affiliated ball right now, because he is the Shohei Ohtani of Banana Land, and he's been hitting well. I mean, as we speak right now, the batting average isn't what he would like. He's only hitting .237, but his on-base percentage is .368 because he's got a Bananas team high 15 sprints, right. Ball four sprints for anybody keeping track at home. That's the equivalent of a walk in banana ball. And then on the mound, he's been the best of the best, and no one's even close. I mean, he's been the Sandy Koufax of this tour. He's got a 1.7 ERA and 37 innings pitched, and no one else is under four. No one else is under four. So we've been calculating ERA plus, which makes the average player 100. His ERA plus is 338. There are only three other Bananas who are above league average, and the next closest man to him is Delano, who's at 140. So, like, he's in a whole nother galaxy. Speaking of a whole nother galaxy, DJ the Invader has been a great addition. He was awesome early, has kind of struggled as of late, but he's got one of the best changeups I've ever seen in my life, and is pitching with a helmet where I can't believe he can see anything out of. It's hilarious every time he gets a ball in play, because that turns into an adventure. It's a lot easier to pitch from the mound than find a moving ball with that thing on. And hitting-wise, I mean, banana ball skews towards hitters. So, you know, you get Rhys Hampton, who is a former Detroit Tigers product, a 12th round pick in 2018. He's hitting .411. He went 4-for-5 on Friday night and then 2-for-4 on Saturday night in Nashville. That helped the old batting average a lot. He's leading in that department. I mean, Bryson Bloomer won back-to-back Coastal Plain League championships in 21 and 22 with the Bananas. He's hitting .375. He's got four bombs. The OPS is north of 1,000 for him. He's been really incredible. I mean, we're also doing OPS plus, which does the exact same thing as ERA plus. Right. And you got Bloomer at 199 right now. It's pretty wild. Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, Rhys Hampton is at 125. Jake Skoll's at 156. Those are kind of three of the big boppers for the party animals. The party animals, wildly enough, are three games better than the Bananas so far on the tour. They're 17-14 with a couple ties, which will never happen again. Because we thought they would basically never happen. Then they happened twice in the first 30 plus games. And Jesse said, we need to find a solution. That's one of the wildest things of this whole tour, is how it's evolved. And speaking of that, we just had our first ever weekend where challenges were in play in banana ball. And the fans can challenge plays now. And funny enough, the fans are 0-for-2 on their challenges. The Bananas and party animals have each challenged one play and have each been correct. So that's really cool, because myself and my broadcast partner, Josh Tulevsky, as well as Zach Frangelo, a director of entertainment, and whatever umpire was not involved in the play, all bring our minds together and have to make sure we get this thing right. Or if you don't have enough evidence, you just leave the call as it is. So I have more power than I've ever had in my entire life, and I'm absolutely loving it. That was pretty thrilling. And then on the banana side, it's the familiar faces. Dan Oberst, it's his fifth year as a banana. He's done nothing but absolutely mash balls. He's leading the team in average, hitting .379. He's got five bombs, 12 doubles to lead the team. He's just an absolutely different beast. And then D.R. Meadows has been amazing. He's hitting .350. He was a big part of the championship season last year. Hey, our good old boy, Bill Leroy, how about him? Hitting .287, a .385 on base percentage. He hasn't had a lot of pop, only three doubles as far as extra base hits goes. But boy, he's as tough a guy to strike out as you can find in Banana Land. And he's now caught 13 games in a row behind the dish as Dan's been kind of nursing a hamstring that happened in Kansas City playing the Monarchs. So it's been fascinating. My guy Josh has been calculating so many statistics, I can't even fathom it. I mean, I'm talking to you guys about OPS and ERA plus here. He's got WOBA, he's got WRC plus. I mean, like, this is legitimate. We're 41 games in. We've got so much, so many statistics, so much knowledge on these guys. And we're not halfway through the tour, son of a gun. I can't even fathom it. So it's been a wild time.
And you got a lot more tricks coming up your sleeve, I bet.
That's a fact. That is a fact. It's only going to get more bizarre and incredibly fun from here. That's for sure. Especially with the Aussie Drop Bears coming in for four games.
And if you can't get to the stadium, go to YouTube, Savannah Bananas, subscribe, and you can catch all the action. And you can listen to this young tiger here give you the play-by-play. I'm still waiting for him to get to the fireworks display. That was always one of your classics, too. Have you done that this year?
Saturday night, our most recent broadcast, we had fireworks in Nashville. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I was kind of on another level Saturday night. I was giving the people some new descriptions. I was giving them some old classics. And I felt pretty good broadcasting the fireworks a couple evenings ago.
Well, Biko, I know you're going to have a lot of fun in the second half. Hopefully, we can get out there and see some real live Savannah Bananas baseball instead of watching on YouTube. I feel like, text you, Kyle, you'll love this. So I texted him the other day. I said, Biko, I can't get in the chat room. I said, it's like I'm in New York when, you know, they have the radio prizes. You got to call up, and I would never be able to do it. If that's what's happening in this chat room now. You can't get in the chat room anymore.
It's tough, man. I mean, you got to be logged into a YouTube account. You got to subscribe to the Bananas. There's a couple of hoops you got to get through here. But luckily, our subscribers are nearing 600,000 now. So it's been working out already. I think we've gained over 400,000 subscribers since the tour started. So it's been really
fun. I'm one of the original. I've been a subscriber since day one.
That's a
Coach
fact.
Is an OG.
So, you know, you got to love it. They said the Savannah Bananas would never work. Well, I bet you right now they're eating their bananas right now. But once again, good luck this weekend with the Aussie Drop Bears. Look forward to seeing you, buddy. And anytime you got anything, let us know. And when we get to the end, you guys will figure out how to play a championship playoff game somehow.
Carl, you have to. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been an absolute blast, as per usual. I love chatting with you guys. And we'll see. I don't know if it'll be a regular season title, if there's some kind of secret games that we'll release beyond the 87 we have on the schedule finishing up in Cooperstown on September 16th. But one way or another, someone's going to get a ring or two.
All right. Give us one last time. See ya.
See you later.
That's a classic, Biko. We'll talk to you.
Appreciate you guys.
See ya, Paisan.
Thanks so much, Biko. You take care, buddy.
Hey, catch you on the flippity flop.
You got that right, Tiger. I mean, he loves what he does.
Wow.
I mean, he goes from an MLB job to working in the NHL to come down here and take a big chance to be part of a team called Savannah Bananas. And you know what? He does a great job with it. You got to watch his YouTube.
Because he's a character. He's an entertainer. He can do it. He can do it all.
I didn't know Syracuse Orangemen were entertainers. I thought
they can be. And yeah. What do you think they are, Coach?
I think he's just as good as Bob Costas, if you ask me.
Well, if he keeps doing what he's doing, he'll get there someday. And wow, I love whenever we get to have our chats. Blew me away. Once again, we're always going to go long, but that was some absolute radio gold.
You got it. And it only happens because it's Biko Nico Scala. All right. So let's
get that right.
You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball podcast with the coach, Carl Demasi and Kyle Lawson. We're a little behind schedule here. Usually it's the Braves in the second inning, so we got to get to the Braves now. But once again, it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Got to thank John Henderson and Adele Henderson for letting us do this and to be part of that Coach's Corner Sports Network. All right, let's go with the Braves quick. Inning number three, we'll do a Braves focus. The only concern with me is the arms. Everybody left and right is, you know, Soroka's going back down. They brought up the kid. Help me out. The new kid that pitched two.
Smith Schauber.
What is it?
Yes, Smith Schauber. He looked really good the other night. And of course, Eddie Rosario came up really big with that walk-off as they took. Oh, man. You want to talk about.
First pitch.
Yeah. Took it deep and took advantage of a big mistake. They take two out of three against the surging Diamondbacks right now. But another arm just came up earlier today, and you're looking at right-hander Ben Heller, who was acquired from the Tampa Bay Rays. Go ahead and say it. But this guy is looking good at Durham right now. He was 3-2, and he hasn't pitched in the show since 2020. 3.95 ERA in 18 appearances. He's a righty that can be counted on, and he can get outs.
And this is one of those series that really matters. I mean, they took two out of three.
Absolutely.
In April against the Mets. So, or was it May? I think it was the end of April coming into May.
Correct. So, yes.
So this is going to be a big series because this is a divisional series. And like we said, like you said last week, they've just been playing everybody and anybody anywhere except division foes.
Yeah. And really, I mean, you're looking at it right now. The Mets right now are, you know, within striking distance of the Braves right now. But three games at Truist, this is big. And they're going to get started this week. They get started this evening. And this is going to be a test right now against an underachieving team. Go out there and win those games. I know health is a concern, but the Braves are the better ball club right now. Go out there and do the job.
All right, right now against the division teams, they're 12-5. Against NL teams, they're 24-12. Against the American League, they have a losing record. They're 11-12.
It's a bit skewed, of course, with the unbalanced schedule. These things will balance themselves out. I don't want to hear about that series against the Oakland Athletics that happened over the weekend. That's an anomaly. You move on from that. You get back to work. Guess what they did? They took two or three from Arizona, and they're taking on the Mets this weekend. So put the foot on the gas and go out there and get that W tonight.
Any woes about the pitching concerns?
There's plenty to go around right now. Go ahead.
Max is on the 60-day IL list.
That's my most disappointing issue right now. And I know we've talked about it before. We talked about it last week. Bryce Elder is going to have to pick up the slack. He certainly has done that. 3-1 record right now. Hopefully he keeps it going. It's a tough loss for the Braves. But this team is built around offense. The guys continue to swing the bat. Ozzie and Matt Olson continue to crush. Of course, you know what you're going to get from Ronald Acuna Jr. And Eddie Rosario, that spark plug off the bench, continues to be one of the most popular Braves of the last few weeks. He comes out and does his job. He knows he's not going to start every day.
And, you know, we get ripped off because of the West Coast games. But I never knew Sean Murphy was this good. I never knew that Matt Olson was this good. I mean, to add him to the break, I mean, Murphy's got to have one of the best cannons in baseball.
He really does. He's got an absolute rifle from behind the plate. And I've told you this. I told you this on our first show. And I just said, wait, because clearly none of us stayed up and watched Oakland A's baseball. But you watch MLB tonight. You watch, MLB today. You realize these two guys are special. The Braves have two of them. They went out there and made those shrewd signings, got an absolute ace behind the plate. And then, you know, to couple with Travis d'Arnaud, depth. You've got depth, okay? Go out there and hit. They have depth within that pitching rotation. Hate that about Max, but they got to get back to work.
All right, so that's quickly inning number three, Braves focus. We just chopped on the frame, Braves.
Quick chop.
You're listening to the coach, called the Monson, of course, the baseball fanatic. Baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
Yeah, call me whatever you want.
He is from Chicago. We say Kinetic, okay? But anyway, he's the baseball fanatic. Here on the Who's On First Baseball podcast. All right, inning number four, trivia. This is the fourth episode. He's 3-0 this year. I mean, he's really pounding me this year. So let's get to it so we can get out of here quick. We've gone over time right now. So first up is me to you, okay? My theme this year, okay? My theme this week. It's the 60 games into the schedule. We're going to go into the 1960s baseball trivia.
Oh,
I know. Okay. You weren't around yet. Okay. All right. You'll probably get this one.
By a long shot. Go ahead.
This one's easy. In 1961, for the first time in 60 years, baseball began with two new franchises. What were those teams and their names?
Their nicknames. 1961.
When they added two brand new franchises. What were the franchises' city and what was their nickname?
Well, let's see. You added new clubs. Okay, new clubs. So you added, the Los Angeles Angels.
Okay.
And you added the expansion replacement Washington Senators.
Damn, I knew that would be an easy one for you. You're right.
What can I tell you?
You're right.
All right, there you go. So I didn't really come up with a theme. I just thought I found a couple of trivia questions that just kind of tickled my fancy a little bit.
Go ahead.
Sticking with, okay, you were talking about expansion team cities. I'm going to talk about transplant cities. We all know what the struggles the Oakland A's have been having this rough, rough season of theirs. They've been in Oakland since 1968. Can you name me the two other cities they played in prior?
The Athletics? The Oakland Athletics.
Correct. That is correct.
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia Athletics.
Yes.
Now, this is where I'm getting – this is where I'm – I know the Athletics.
Trying to keep you sharp here.
I have two choices. I'm going to go – I don't – you know, I got two choices, Kansas City and Seattle. I'm going to go – then they went to Kansas City.
There you go. All right, we're tied. I like this. From, there you
from
go.
Kansas City to Seattle, right?
No, Kansas City to Oakland. Oakland.
So what happened with the Seattle Pilots? Where'd they wind up?
Milwaukee.
They went to Milwaukee.
That's the reason the Brewers have those colors. They didn't have enough time to change the colors of the uniforms. Like, all right, put an M on it. Just go out there and play. That's it.
All right, so we're 1-1. Top of the second. All right, I'm staying in the 60s. In 1962, the L.A. Dodgers filed an official protest to MLB due to the Dodgers losing to the San Francisco Giants in a playoff game. What caused this protest? Why did the Dodgers protest this game?
Oh my gosh. I know this.
I thought they would be two easy ones for you.
All right, you got me. I can't think of it. We're already way past time. I'm gonna give you the L on this one. I'm gonna take the L on this.
You got hungry? You gotta go hang out with Angela in the pub.
Yeah, Angela. Yeah, she made a big thing of spaghetti. I'm gonna deal with that in a second. Go ahead.
How about some meatballs?
Yes, they're in there too, sir.
Okay. All right. Maury Wills stole 104 bases that season, so the Giants saturated the field so he couldn't steal any bases.
I would never have guessed that. Okay, that was good.
So, all right, so I could win it right here, buddy.
You could win it right here, and you just might. This is just a trivia question I like, and I want to see how sharp you are on it. There's only been two Yankees to ever win the Triple Crown. Lou Gehrig is the first. Tell me the other.
Oh, boy.
Can you believe there's only two? I'm a little surprised.
I know Lou Gehrig, but I don't know who the other one is. It's got to be during the 50s or the 60s, maybe even the 40s. Lou Gehrig. I'm going to go with Joe DiMaggio.
Wow. I thought this would be walk-off territory. Mickey Mantle, 56.
Well, I knew it was the center fielder, but I wasn't sure which one. All right, quickly. All right, here you go. You should win it on this one. Bonus question. This is it, or we ended a tie like we're kissing our sisters. In 1962, how many games did the New York Mets lose?
Ooh, 120.
You are right. So if I don't answer, you're the winner.
I've already given you three questions there.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't.
Just making sure you're paying attention. All right. This is one that really surprised me.
I got the first one, the Athletics, and the second one was the Triple Crown.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are your first. No, I'm just messing with you. Of course I got a question for you. The most multi-hit games while batting leadoff. Can you name me the player who has the most multi-hit games while batting leadoff? I have a feeling I know who you're going to guess, and I want to see if you're right.
I'm not going to be right. I know he had the most home runs leading off, but I don't know if he had the most multi-games leading off. Ricky Henderson.
Believe it or not, it's Mookie Betts. He's got 22 already.
Wow, he had more than Ricky Henderson?
Yeah, that blew me away. Blew me away.
All right, I know you got your spaghetti and meatballs going. Go ahead, fly your blue W.
La, 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 la. Won that 4-0. That feels good. I feel better if the Cubs beat the Angels. Wow, what a show, Coach. Tonight was amazing.
The Braves beat the Mets and the Yankees beat the White Sox. I know you'd love that. Okay.
Yeah, hey, I do like that.
I got to make this quick. Comerica Park, I know it's 20 years old. Not a little bad little ballpark. Too bad there was nobody there, like 20,000 people. But it wasn't a bad ballpark.
It's a great park.
Yeah. So I would love
to Glad see you got old, to do it.
I would love to see the old one. So
I wish I could ask my grandfather about it. That was his favorite park. He loved it. And, yeah, I'd love to get to Detroit at some point. Glad you got to take that trip.
Yeah, and, you know, they put Al Kaline in right field. It's not the same thing as the old ballpark with Al Kaline in right field. All right, so it flew right by. We got to thank Biko Scalo for taking the time to come on. A lot of fun, Kyle, as always. You know, remember, if you've been listening, this is the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Austin, because it's all part of what?
The Coach's Corner Sports Network.
You got it, where it's all food, all fun, all music, all sports since when?
1991.
I thought you were going to tell me 1961. So
No, right. You're not going to fool me this time. Go ahead.
Remember, say your prayers for everybody over there in Ukraine and say your prayers for what's going on in this crazy world we live in and the United States. But whatever you're doing today or tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Always hit it out of the park.
And until we speak with you next week, may it be what?
Your best week ever.
The guy wants to get out of here. He's got spaghetti and meatballs waiting by his lovely Angela. So, Kyle, enjoy the week. I'll talk to you. And once again, always a lot of fun. And it's always play ball on the Who's on First Base baseball podcast. Talk to you later, buddy.
Take care, Coach. Play ball.
Send me a meatball.
I'll bring you one.